Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, we take a deep dive into the Maximus 12 formula and start to accessorize with some parts from VK. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia. With me today, I have Darren McCain. Something's different in the lab, and we have lack of video.
No video this month because we have entered, Dennis, stage two of the Hardware Asylum social distancing reopening plan?
Yes, the plan.
The plan.
Well, and technically we are 6 feet apart across the table.
It's like a 12-stage plan, only not 12 stages.
Yeah. Well, normally we don't have such a big table, but in this particular episode, we are going to be talking about the ASUS Maximus 12 formula.
Maximus 12 formula edition. We talked about this, didn't we, last month, actually.
Yeah, last month on the vidcast of the Hardware Asylum Podcast. You should go back and check it out.
You totally should. Don't look at us.
And we brought
just
up
listen.
Pictures and stuff. And as you can tell, we're kind of having a little fun because we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do. You know, this social distancing has kind of been good, but the hardware has backed up a little bit.
It has. I've had a lot more time to get reviews done and pushed out on the website. However, we have a lot of project-based reviews that are forthcoming.
So I'm assuming that this particular motherboard is the target of your project that you're discussing.
Yes, we have a project planned around this particular build.
So this is the beautiful Maximus 12 formula.
XII.
XII, not 12?
No, it's 12.
Okay.
It's 10 plus 2, that's 12.
10, okay. X-Eyes.
X-Eyes.
Isn't that an anime? Oh, all right. So now this particular motherboard is from the
ASUS
folks. It has the ROG graphic on it.
Yeah, this is the Formula Edition. I've reviewed a Formula Edition motherboard back in the Z370 era. And it's a really cool board. It has full coverage shields covering up all of the ugly PCB stuff.
Like the Tomahawk.
Like the Tomahawk and a lot of other boards, actually. And its claim to fame is that it's kind of designed for the water cooler.
Beautiful. And I see that it has integrated water cooling on it. And I have to tell you, my first impression is that this thing weighs a freaking ton.
Oh, well, that's all of the accessories that are on it. The water cooling feature is by EK, so the Cross Chill VRM cooler.
Nice synergy there. Now, we like EK products, and I've regularly been quoted as saying that right now they're the pinnacle of water cooling manufacturers.
Yeah, well, they're one of the only names in town that actually does a lot of different things. Pretty cool.
Yep, definitely love them, so I'm not surprised.
This motherboard features, we can go down a lot of the specifics here, but visually we have a bunch of coverings. All of these are RGB enabled. So over here across the IO shield, the cover is a little rainbow effect of the ASUS Aura lighting
system. I like RGB, I guess.
The shield over the PCI Express slots is also RGB enabled. It's mirrored, which is pretty cool because you look at it and it's highly reflective. But when you turn on the lights, you get the glow from behind, which is pretty cool.
It does apparently take fingerprints, though. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, we can fix that. The ROG logo over the VRM chipset cooler is also lit up. And ironically, unlike in the Maximus 12 Hero that I reviewed, which is on hardwareasylum.com,
right,
you don't have to tear apart the entire covers on the bottom to get to the M.2 slots.
That seems like a good thing. But I think you missed one really important little bit of eye candy. It has a little screen.
So unlike some of the other Maximus products, there is an OLED screen above the topmost PCI Express slot, which by default shows the formula graphic. It kind of fades in and out and does some
formula
tearing. And then when the system is running, it starts showing the CPU temperature.
Which is always useful.
And with the previous formula, there was some software you could go in and put your own custom GIF. I said GIF. Across that OLED so you can display any picture you want. Or you can program it to show different temperatures. Like if you have a pump hooked up, it'll have the pump RPM.
You could totally program somebody's name into it.
You could.
Hey, does that screen feature full color, though. I only saw monochrome, I think, on it.
It's only monochrome.
Oh, bummer.
It's black and white. It's OLED. It's not like TV OLED. It's the cheap stuff.
Well, you know, it's a step, and it looks pretty snazzy.
Well, with a lot of the ROG products there, well, at least in the Maximus line, there's benchtop buttons, which is the power and the reset. These are fully covered, so they actually look like more buttons instead of actually button switches.
Oh, I would not have guessed those were selectable buttons.
Well, and the idea is that they blend. So this motherboard is really designed to be seen.
Ah, but Dennis, will it blend?
I'm pretty sure it'll blend. The cool thing, though, is above that we have a debug LED.
Nice.
Standard location. We have the two buttons, which are backlit. And if you flip the motherboard over.
Flip it.
We have a almost full coverage backplate.
That would explain a lot of the weight, but.
Some of the weight.
What value is a back cover on a motherboard, though? Because it's directly mounted, usually. Well, I can't even think of a reason it wouldn't be directly mounted to a motherboard tray.
A couple of the reasons are the same reasons we put backplates on video cards. Aesthetics and strength. In this particular case, with this backplate installed, you are not going to be able to bend the board.
No bending.
Well, please don't bend it, but it is a lot stronger in that it's not going to resist twisting.
Does this mean the next generation cases are not going to have full cages? They're going to depend on motherboards to have their own backplates?
They did that, what, 15 years ago with full acrylic cases
and
stuff?
And it didn't last. But
it didn't last. It was terrible.
So you haven't mentioned also something cool about this one. I believe this is the first motherboard I've seen that has an M.2 socket on the backside.
It's the first one that I know of, yes.
So that's kind of interesting. Now,
the reason for this...
Reason for it.
...is partially because of aesthetics on the front.
Right.
But I want to say this would be a perfect place to put your Optane Memory M.2 drive.
Yeah, but there's no space for like a cool heat sink there as I'm looking at the profile here.
Well, you don't necessarily need a heat sink for an Optane drive. All it is a caching drive for some of your other drives.
Would maybe touch your motherboard tray.
It's possible, but that's what the backplate's for.
Okay.
But if you don't want to put it back there, because obviously you cannot service any drive you put in that location. If you
not flip without it, at least modding your motherboard tray.
If you flip it over, there is two M.2 at the bottom, and they are horizontal.
Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying about the easy access there. So just two screws gets into those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like the layout of this particular board. It's very ergonomic. It has a lot of features that are really catered toward the extreme system builder, so to speak. So we have the full coverage pieces, the RGB, so that it's really dressy.
Mm-hmm.
Down here at the bottom, you see there's some white, they look like fan headers.
Yeah, little tiny ones.
Those are for water cooling systems. So you can have two thermal probes. And then you can have an RPM sensing probe. So you can plug that into your pump and monitor the RPM and temperature so that you can tune your water cooling loop based off of actual system temperatures.
That's pretty cool. Now, you talked a little bit already about the integrated water cooling. I want to come back to that because I can't tell, is the water cooling required? I mean, or does it function without it to some extent?
It functions without it. You know, some of that weight is the heft of the heat sinks that are on this board.
Oh, yeah. And I see a heat pipe running across to something, Northbridge or Southbridge, Eastbridge.
Yeah, I think it's the eastbound and down bridge.
That'll work.
Yeah. The cross chill is basically, instead of having radiator fins per se to cool off the VRM, there is a water channel with some fins inside there. So you can run water through it to cool it. And that's the most efficient way to cool the cross-chill VRM cooler. But I've run this for 3 days on the test bench, running various benchmarks. And not once was the VRM heatsink, the part I could touch, hot to the touch.
Well, you're going to have to push it harder, I guess.
Well, that is one of the things about the VRM design. It gets warm. It can be cooled with water, but it's not a requirement.
Very interesting. I see this is the Wi-Fi edition because we've got two Wi-Fi antennas.
Many of the Maximus 12 motherboards come with Wi-Fi. It's one of the features of the Z490 chipset and Intel's new Wi-Fi 6.
Very nice. And I see also a 10G network plug in the back. I'm glad to see that is finally starting to get some traction.
Yeah, although 10G isn't really a common network speed in the home. It's kind of an office thing, I think.
Yeah, but we should change that because, I mean, reasons.
Well, yeah, like 4K gaming, right? We need to have better video cards for that. Well, now we need better switches.
Oh, you know, and a new killer neck and all that kind of... But anyway, I digress. We've talked a lot about sound cards lately, and particularly how they compare to sound cards on motherboards. And this is, I think, a great example because this has the high-end Supreme FX sound system on it, or sound chipset, rather.
Yeah. When I tested the Maximus 12 Hero, the sound reproduction off of that onboard system was, it rated as excellent, and it sounded amazing. Considering that Asus sold one of the best discrete sound cards that you could buy, aside from something from Creative Labs, the onboard sound is really mimicking that.
Well, that's good to hear. And I think another opportunity where at least the hardware is, you know, well ahead of the software, unless you're doing some pretty severe sound engineering, it's going to be crazy overkill. But that's what you expect in a motherboard in this price point, which we haven't talked about.
We haven't. We don't normally talk about prices on the Hardware Asylum anything, mostly because as enthusiasts, if you have to ask about the price, it's probably too much. Or you are, you know, you're looking for a product that's outside of what you actually need.
Well, but I think in this case, it's warranted because this is a motherboard that kind of overkills in a lot of categories and is still not the most expensive motherboard in their lineup.
That's very true. And to that point, this particular board should retail around $500.
Ouch.
Which is still a lot, but considering what it comes with and some of the things that you can get and do with it, I think it makes sense. It's in the good place.
Well, and realistically, the high-end Asus motherboards have been hovering between $400 and $500 really for a couple of generations.
Oh, yeah.
So that doesn't surprise me. And of course, they're limited edition and they're extreme.
Super extreme.
Super extreme stuff. And it goes higher, like the full water cool stuff. But
yeah. So this board, just kind of wrapping up some of the features, we have a 16-phase VRM. The Hero had a 14+2, and I'm still not sure what the plus two is for. But this 16-phase VRM, it allowed it to run cooler. So it spread the load out over the MOSFETs a lot better. The full coverage pieces have these little triangle cutouts in certain areas and holes, which make it difficult to get a screw down there to actually install it into motherboard. And in the middle where the OLED screen is, there's supposed to be a mounting screw, and it's missing.
No center mount for you. I guess you're not going to align this puppy.
No, it actually exists on the PCB. You just can't get to it.
Sure enough. Well, and that's not even a removable panel, it looks like.
No, it just is one of those things that's not going to be able to be installed. But we are running the full width ATX. So we have our three screws across the top, three in the middle, three at the bottom. So we need to have a fairly large case, not an extended ATX, but a fairly large case to house this.
Well, I'm guessing the stability of the motherboard's not an issue with that backplate anyway.
No, it's not so much. But if you happen to get this board and it's not enough,
okay.
We have the option to accessorize.
What? I mean, accessorize like a coach bag? Is that
a bit like a coach bag. It's not as bad as bedazzling.
Oh, no.
But we do have a product that on a previous podcast we had talked about, and I'd really bashed it when I posted it on the news.
Oh, okay.
Because that's where it came from. It came out of VK. I look at it as like, this is the dumbest thing ever.
I'm starting to remember now.
And I kind of bashed it when we talked about the LGA 1200 socket. And now that I have one, it's not as bad. I still think it's a little pointless, but we can talk about that.
All right, so let's talk about it. So we want to talk about a build with this beautiful Formula motherboard.
Mm-hmm. And we have an entire table full of stuff, so we can just kind of go down what we got.
And it's not enough. So this is going to be a good opportunity to talk not just about this particular water block, which you mentioned, but about how we would put together a accessorized water-cooled build with the Maximus XII Formula Edition motherboard.
12. Well, we should start with, how are we going to cool our CPU?
I would think that you would use a heatsink.
I would agree.
Hey, all right, what's next?
We have a specialized heatsink for EK. We have the EK Quantum Velocity.
Velocity.
Now, this is a water block that I got to see at Computex last year.
Nice.
And I remember it because it had a little tab at the bottom.
This says
Velocity.
Woo. I got to tell you, when I first saw this, I thought it said Velociraptor for a minute, which would also have been cool.
I mean, it is super cool. Now, in terms of EK water block design, it's very similar to, like, for instance, the one you have in your machine.
Yeah.
It's a two-bar block. We have an accelerator plate that goes over the thin fins. And it's relatively light in terms of weight. So there isn't a lot of copper in there.
It looks taller, the profile of it. Maybe it's just because I haven't looked at mine recently. Yeah. But I also see that, much like mine, the top is drilled for LED lighting, but I don't see any LED lighting in it.
I want to say that there is spots at the top or side or something like that where you do the... Oh, duh. It's right here. It's the plug. It's got a plug.
Aha!
Duh.
Right in front of me. LED lighting.
Yeah, so that block, it's got the 3-pin plug, so it's got the ARGB. You can plug that into the addressable RGB header on your Maximus Formula motherboard, and it will sync with the RS lighting system.
Very nice.
Which is pretty cool. And now we can talk about our new crazy feature.
New.
Which is a distribution plate for the Maximus 12 Formula.
All right, so that must be this box.
Yeah, so you can go ahead and open that one. I can kind of describe it. So the CrossChill VRM cooler has an inlet and an outlet, which is basically your standard G-quarter plugs. And inside the EK Quantum Momentum.
Holy package overkill.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. It's all super wrapped up, too. This distribution block, what it does is once you install your EK Velocity CPU cooler, with RGB lights that you'll never be able to see now because you're going to be covering them.
They become ground lighting.
Yeah, under lighting. Oh, you need some more accessory stuff.
More stuff.
Yeah.
Not just this giant freaking block?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No, there's no.
No, grab that.
Grab that. Okay.
Grab that.
Oh, I see.
This is important. This is important. So in our podcast episode, we had theorized about how this block is supposed to be attached and whether or not it would leak. Now that I can see the mounting accessories.
Oh, they're plunge mounts.
They are.
Oh, but cool, that's scary.
But look. So if you... okay, so plunge mounts are basically, they're like a barb fitting. So it's got an O-ring on the top and O-ring on the bottom. So you take the fitting, you screw it into the G-quarter onto the CPU block and the cross chill.
Right.
And then there's an O-ring that seals the top piece. And then you take your distribution plate and you put it down on top of the entire thing. But there is a key here. And the key is, if you look at the bottom, you see how these are slightly ovaled?
I was just looking at that.
So what happens is there is a screw right here.
Mm-hmm.
You take that screw out and then the plate on the back slides. So you got some ovals here as well.
Okay.
So what that does is it slides across. You take the distribution block and you push it down on top of all four of the barb fittings that you put on the motherboard. And then you take the bottom piece and you slide it back. And what that does is it locks this metal plate against the shoulders on those plunge mounts.
That's clever.
So that will lock this to the entire system. And with the one O-ring in there, which mounts up against the acrylic in here.
One O-ring.
One O-ring.
This goes like right there. Ooh.
Goes just like that.
Fancy.
And it sits on top of the highest portion of the motherboard. So it sits, you know, high and proud, I guess is what you want to call it. Now that I see it in person, I think it might really be kind of cool. I am a little leery of the single O-ring and whether or not it will leak. And since it's underneath, you can't monitor where all the water is or isn't. So it's a bit scary.
Well, yeah. And this thing's freaking huge.
Oh, and it does come with RGB. So now that we don't have RGB lights on our CPU block, we have it on our distribution plate.
Yeah, more ground lighting or surface lighting or something. So this thing is, about 6 inches by 6 inches?
Yeah, ish.
Ish?
It basically fits the area between the memory socket, so you can put all four DIMMs in as well. And it rests up against this lip on the IO cover and right at the top of where the EK cross chill is in the
What's interesting to me is that it doesn't cover the entire thing like a square, which seems like it would make sense.
Well, they want to show off the EK logo in this corner.
Well, there's an EK. Well, all right. Maybe this one lights up.
No, actually, I don't think it does.
Huh. Well, I guess an extra logo doesn't hurt.
Well, no, it's EK logo. They like showing off stuff. That's why they have EK on everything.
EK. So this thing's called the Momentum, it looks like.
Yeah, the Momentum. And it's a specialized block, much like full coverage blocks on video cards that will only fit on this particular motherboard. And you buy as many as they make, and that's all you get.
So if you want one of these things, you should probably jump on it because it's probably just one run. And when they're gone, they're gone.
Now, of course, if you don't have this particular distribution plate.
No Momentum for you.
You could wire, or you could tube everything together in series. So basically you put your CPU block over top of the CPU. You run a link between the CPU block and the EK cross chill, and you basically have your inlet and outlets, one on the CPU and one on the cross chill.
I feel like all that's missing is a EK memory water block.
Yeah, and they stopped making those, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, maybe if they're listening. If you're going to bling it, go for broke.
Yes, bling the bling. Bling bling? Yeah, double blings.
So this is pretty fancy. So this Momentum plate never actually contacts anything directly.
Nope.
So it's just helping circulate the water and lighting stuff up and being a huge cool block of acrylic.
Well, and it does relocate where the water inlets and outlets are going to be. So basically we have them in the lower left of this block once it gets installed. Had we installed just the CPU block and then piped up the cross chill and the block together, we would have one tube over on the far edge of the motherboard and one over the CPU block, which kind of can create some challenges and if you're going to be doing a hardline build.
No, that's a good point, too, because once you put in a video card or two or three, then you're going to have some pretty serious spaghetti right over the GPU-CPU section, which is going to make it really difficult to make it fit. Okay. All right. You're starting to win me over, too.
Well, we have a few other accessories.
Okay, let me stash this.
All right, the next item up for bid.
Woohoo!
Might as well be, right? When I got a hold of the Maximus 12 formula, I also got a nice little water cooling kit, which is one reason that we're talking about this kind of stuff.
Okay.
And I want to call this one of the coolest items in here.
The coolest item. So this is...
It's also a little weird. This is the EK Quantum Kinetic.
Kinetic. They have interesting names. Momentum, Kinetic. What was the block? The
Velocity.
Oh, that's right. The Velociraptor.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. Now, I think I saw these when we were at CES.
Possibly. Not they might have been in a build.
Not necessarily this version of it, though. But, yeah. So what?
Oh, you saw something similar is what... You saw one of the distribution blocks or water reservoirs in the InWin cases.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So similar idea. So this is a funky reservoir.
Man, it's a funky res. It is the DDC version. It's a pump res.
So it says FLT 240 on the front. So I'm guessing that it's a 240.
It's a 240 form factor. So at the very bottom is your DDC pump. That's actually what circulates all the water. You have water inlets and outlets in different areas of the res. And it's designed like a kind of like a distribution plate. So it's very thin and tall and not so wide.
So it has this marking on it that's sort of interesting that I thought initially was water channels, but it's just decorative, it looks like.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's actually part of the plastic or part of the res, but I think it's built in to help distribute some of the light because along the edge we have an RGB strip.
Yeah, of course. We've got to have some RGB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all RGB, man.
So this is really nice.
And guess where it mounts?
In a 240 fan spot?
Yeah, pretty much. Or it can mount directly to a 240 radiator.
Oh, interesting.
In the box, there are some accessories, and these help you mount the pump res. So we have these standoffs here.
fancy bracket looking doodads.
Yeah, and the brackets are the same height as the DC pump.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
So that will space it away so that you can see the full res.
So it's about an inch, almost an inch deep.
You can mount the radiator to this end of the bracket. And then you have, you'll have a sandwich, basically. So on the front side of it, you will have the pump res. You'll have these brackets. You will have the radiator. And then you have the fans. And then that would all mount into a 240 fan position.
So you need a pretty good amount of space wherever you're planning on putting this sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And you want this beautiful reservoir to be visible.
That's correct. And I want to say that this is really designed for cases similar to like the Thermaltake P5 or the crazy Lan Lee O11O-something-something case that everybody right. loves building in so much.
It's a cool-looking case.
It is a pretty cool-looking case. For the most part, in a case where we have standard fan locations, like in the front or top or in the bottom, we would probably reverse the way that this is mounted. So we have the radiator on the inside of the case and the sandwich so that the fans are on the outside.
Well, that works out because you'll see the lighting and such through the window, mm-hmm. and you'll get the fans, hopefully, running some pretty graphics or RGB effects up through the fan venting. So.
Yeah. So in addition to some various fittings that they sent me, we have some new Vardar fans.
Oh, okay. And
these things are really super fancy because they do not look like a standard fan at all. You know, a standard fan, I should say, is one where we have this square frame. We don't necessarily care about what the frame looks like because it just holds the fan in place.
This is really interesting looking. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of dome-shaped, maybe.
Uh-huh. It's got some rubber mounting on the corners, so it can keep vibrations down, obviously. It doesn't go all the way to the upper edge. This is basically a ring in the fan itself.
Nice.
High-quality fans, or what I associate with high-quality fans, have a much larger ring around where the fan motor is. It creates a bit of a gyroscope.
Okay.
So you don't need as much power to actually run the fan, and it will run a little bit smoother because of the way that it's weighted. Well, the center of this fan is really huge and is made out of metal and has some weight to it.
So I'm looking at the shape of the blades, which is kind of interesting. I think I've seen similar designs before.
Yeah, it's got a bit of a stealth fighter sort of scallop at the trailing end of the fan blade.
Yeah, and a little bit of texture on the blades too. I wonder if that helps break up the noise factor. The question that I would ask is, with that larger center to it, does it create a dead zone? Do we know?
Well, we know that just about every fan in existence, aside from a couple of Noctua designs and the one from Silverstone, the air exiting in the fan is exiting at an angle, and we have a dead zone where the motor is anyway. And the fact that the motor hub is larger just really accentuates the fact that that is how big the dead zone would be anyway.
Well, I think it's a great looking fan. Does it have RGB though?
It is not RGB.
Oh, well, first thing we've looked at today that doesn't have RGB.
No, but with this particular build, all of the RGB is on our blocks.
Oh, that's true.
And our fans are going to be pretty much hidden for the most part. So they'll either be behind the radiator or behind the block.
So I'm looking at the box here. Some specs on this bad boy. 67 CFM. Static pressure's good. Noise, 34.2 dBs. Not a bad fan for 120.
No, I'll have to put it through my my airbag inflation testing rig that I did a couple years ago. That was kind of fun.
Well, I'm handling this thing, and I don't know if you've given it enough justice, so hopefully you'll get some good pictures posted. No flex, which we just talked about with some other fans,
mm-hmm.
and it feels German-engineered.
Yes, very true.
It's got that kind of overbuild that makes me feel like this is never going to break and could be used as a self-defense weapon.
It's a very high-quality fan. I'm very impressed. Not very many companies out there would put this much design and effort into a fan and expect it to do well. So hopefully it is a good fan.
Absolutely. Okay.
The final couple of items, we have a couple of radiators here. We have a 240 and a 360.
Right.
But the thing I really wanted to talk about was the tubing.
Well, tubing? There's nothing tubing. About tubing, usually.
No, nothing really.
So soft tubing.
It is soft tubing. And
highly flexible, it says on the package. All right, I'm opening it because I'm seeing some intriguing.
Oh, I think it opens.
Packaging.
There you go.
Can't break tubing, right? Okay.
No, you can't.
I'm sure trying now. Okay, sure enough.
So it's rather thick wall. It's basically 3/8 internal diameter tubing.
And it's black.
Give it a sniff.
It smells like rubber.
I'm going to say it smells of shoes.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me even of like a fan belt scent.
Yeah. Well, it's basically rubberized tubing. This is the zero maintenance tubing that EK offers. The idea here is that if you use standard flex tubing, the plasticizers that make it flexible will eventually leach out and get into your loop and then plug up your blocks and make everything cloudy and gross.
Yeah.
If you're using PETG, some people don't like the fact that we have to go and bend the tubes, and there is still a bit of maintenance involved in terms of making sure that everything is clean. You know, we have to go and flush them every once in a while.
Right.
With this particular tubing, if you use the right coolant, it will be zero maintenance, much like an all-in-one cooler, because light can't get to the liquid. And since this is a rubber tube, it's not going to leach any plasticizers into your loop.
Oh, yeah.
You could basically run this forever. That's the idea.
Well, I want to give a big shout out to EK because time and the excitement of talking about it has really limited some of the stuff that they sent us. But it's an impressive pile. I mean, I'm looking at, I don't even know what these are.
Well, those are dress-up rings.
Dress-up rings in pretty red.
Those go on the fittings.
We got lots of fittings. We got a fun tube cutter that looks like a cigar cutter.
Yeah, a little bit.
In a pinch, it'd work.
Yeah, it's basically a full water cooling loop, and it helps to accessorize the Maximus 12 formula.
Well, especially with the custom blocks, I am kind of excited about how this is going to come together, and I can see where you might initially doubt some of this product because it's not what we're used to seeing.
No, it's not. It's very unorthodox. I mean, most pump res combos are tubes because they are efficient, and that's the easiest way to build them. This one is really more of a distribution plate. It's a bunch of acrylic that's sandwiched together. It's pretty crazy.
It looks like it could fit even in maybe a double distance slot. It's sit right next to your video card.
Well, maybe.
Or, another use for those vertical video card mounts, perhaps.
Oh, hey, yeah. I might be able to pull a case out. Maybe we could do that.
Now we're talking.
Well, it's more or less experimentation. We have the crazy distribution plate that goes on top, which I originally thought was the dumbest thing ever. And in a way, it kind of is, but it serves a purpose in this particular instance. And I'm excited to use it.
Well, if it does well, we may see more of that because with all these new modern blocks around the sockets, I guess, for lack of a better term, there isn't a lot of room for the larger blocks that we used to see.
No, there's not. And it makes it harder to run, you know, do your tubing runs. Running a softline tube from the CPU block to the top of the cross chill, that's a really tight bend. Even with a PETG, that's going to be a tight loop to make that work. So it makes it a little bit easier if you have a distribution block.
Absolutely. And who cannot appreciate some extra pretty lights on this motherboard, which is already going to be a bit of a Christmas tree?
Well, it really shows off the best parts of the RGB that ASUS provides.
And I think the synergy between this particular motherboard and EK, maybe all of the EK products, is really starting to show their expertise and why they're such a dominant force in the market.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes at hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2020. Thanks for listening. And I'll just let this run and we'll clip it, which is cool.
Clipping. No clipping.
Okay. I guess you can just put that on the floor.
Holy crap. All right. I feel like I need a master's degree in packaging to get this back together.
Now I can
wait,
get
no,
that.
I'm there. I'm so there. All right, EK would be proud.
Awesome. Oh, cool. You can just put it on top.
Yeah.